Welcome to the Leadership U podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Leadership U. I'm Christina.
And I'm Jim. Welcome back, everyone.
It's so nice to be with everyone today. So I have a good icebreaker question for you today, Baba.
Okay.
On your desk, what is the most important item that you have?
The most important item that I have is my cell phone. And the reason is that I have all my pictures in there.
Aww.
So I can look at my kids, my grandchildren, family members. So, you know, we live in a digital world now. So instead of having any pictures of my family on the walls in the office, I have all these pictures on my cell phone.
Oh, that's so, you went like the sweet angle.
Yeah, I went like, sweet today.
Is it because Mama's listening to this podcast?
Probably.
All right, I'm going to play not the sweet angle. I have something on my desk that I like the most. And then I have something that's the most important.
Oh, okay.
So since the question was what was the most important, I'm going to say for me, I have a notepad on my desk where I take notes and write things down. I love being able to use things on the computer and having a calendar digital and all that good stuff. But there's a part of me that really loves handwriting notes and making handwritten task lists. And then I mark it off. I like do a strike through it once I've completed a task. And there's something that feels so good about that to me. So for me, my most important item is definitely that notepad where I can cross off my list. But then if I was just going to talk about like something that I like the most on my desk, I have a bumper sticker that was never taken. You know how you peel off bumper stickers?
Yes.
They have the backing on them. So I have a bumper sticker that was never peeled off, but it is from the Bahia Cabana.
Oh, yes.
You know where I'm going with this?
Go ahead.
Bob, when he was in his 20s, worked at this place, a restaurant slash, what was it, like a restaurant?
It was a, restaurant, motel, bar down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Yeah, and so I would hear, growing up, I'd hear all these stories of it, and then my great uncle came to visit us not too long ago, and he brought with him these yellow Bahia Cabana shirts and a bumper sticker.
Yes.
From back in the day. I don't know, I guess my grandmother had saved it, someone had saved it, it had made its way to Uncle Bob, which you've heard him on the podcast before too. But I have the bumper sticker on my desk, and it's just really, it looks nice and vintagey.
Yes.
And it brings back all kinds of warm, fuzzy feelings, so.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so there yeah. You go. I have a sweet one too.
You have a sweet one, that's a good one.
Okay, but let's, moving along, why don't we take a break and when we come back, we'll jump into our topic, okay?
Sure.
Support for Leadership U comes from Patridos. Listen, if you're looking for trendy, comfortable, and eco-friendly clothing, this place is for you. I personally love the hats and sweaters from here. I'm actually wearing both right now. The designs are cool and have a little bit of a minimalist style. It's super trendy and comfy. I'm all about it. But they don't just have apparel. They have home goods, art, and lots of other stuff. Baba, I know you're a fan of the mugs. We love all the products and are big fans. And with worldwide shipping, you can order from anywhere on the planet. You can find them online at www.patridos.com. That's www.patridos.com. Leadership U podcast listeners get 10% off their first order with promo code podcast. Okay, everyone, welcome back. We are talking today about developing a high-performing team. And specifically, we're going to be talking about the idea of group-first mentality. So we're going to be talking about developing a high-performing team over the next couple weeks. It's a subject that we are discussing on our blog at volunteeru.org. So you can keep up with the articles online as well. But we wanted to go through the different traits, I guess, of high-performing teams. And so we thought we'd take a look at the first trait of a high-performing team today, and that is a group-first mentality.
Let's like take a look at the group-first mentality. And what does that mean? There are some reasons why some crews outperform their counterparts. They have specific qualities that lend themselves to success. And so today we're going to look at high performing teams, traits. We want to discover what makes one team perform better than others. First of all, let's get into this now. What is a group first mentality? There is a focus on the collective instead of the individual. And the team is more interested in getting the job done than looking good themselves. Let's investigate how teams move into group first mentality mode.
So the first item we want to talk about is that team members serve others. So high performing teams are known for serving others. It's not about an individual, it's about each other on the team. So when we talk about serving others too, we're not just talking about serving others in regards to task, although that is important, but we're talking about serving others in the sense that you see someone isn't feeling well that day. You see somebody is maybe a little bit down, not themselves, or is experiencing maybe an emotional issue. Whatever the case may be, you're looking out for your team's not only their performance levels inside the organization and accomplishing their tasks, but also how they're doing as a person. You care about each other and you're making sure that every person on the team is doing well as a whole person, not just in regard to their task on the team.
That's great, Christina. So serving others, we look at this approach as considering the other person more valuable than you.
Yeah.
We've talked about value in previous episodes. In our one of the episodes on feedback, we raised that issue of value, how important it is to value one another. Well, when you serve your team, you're actually serving the others that are on the team. And so it's important that when you're developing a high-performing team, that you think of others first. And then you, what this helps you do is think about this now. If you have five or six people on your team, you don't just key in on one other person. I'm going to serve that person. No, right. You look at keying in on serving the others on the team. So if there's five people on the team, count yourself out. There's four that you are looking to serve. So now you're looking at group first. You're looking at how do I serve the other members of my team? And that changes all the perspective. That goes from me first to group first or others first. So always keep this in the mind set when you're working with other team members, that your primary focus is to serve others on your team.
And part of that too is when I've been on teams and sometimes we're all in high pressure situations together. So like there's a little tension, you have a deadline to meet and everyone's working hard to accomplish whatever goals they have to meet the deadline for. But there's also times when maybe I'm on my team working and I don't have as high pressure as I can see my teammate is trying to accomplish a task. Well, as somebody who cares about their team member, even though I have other tasks accomplished on my own plate, my priority is to make sure that they're able to get their job done if they're in a crunch, if they're in a deadline. So it's really just thinking about, like we said, the whole person, putting them above yourself, realizing that as a team, we can get things done better together and focusing on how can we make our organization thrive? How can individual team members together join forces to get the job done and to do things well? So that's that idea of team members serve others. And that's part of that group first mentality. We're going to move right along to the second point, which is in group-first mentality, there are no egos.
Yes, team members of high-performing crews care more about the overall goal than their personal agenda. It's not about doing it their way or getting props for their work. The entire focus is on the big picture. Team members are in it to have the mission succeed. That means they will do whatever is necessary to help complete the tasks. Whether the work is done their way or not, high-performing teams are ego-free.
Yeah, and I think sometimes, just as part of human nature, we get stuck on, well, you know, I've always done things this way, or I have an idea about how this could be better. No, when you're working as a team, sometimes you're not going to get to do things your way, and you have to learn to be okay with that, even if you know 100% you're right, your way is better. Well, as part of a team, it's not about having it go your way, it's about accomplishing a goal. So even if that means not doing it the best way, if it means that you're working together and everyone's in unity, then sometimes that's the way it has to go too. And I think part of this, too, is something that maybe Western culture struggles with a little bit more than Eastern culture, whereas in certain countries where collectivism is more valued than individualism, you might see them cooperating a little bit more. And in certain cultures where individualism is high, you see people in more competitive kind of situations at work and in teams where they feel like they have to outperform or outshine, and there's this competition level just because of the nature of your culture that you're in. But we really want you to encourage you to fight against that feeling of competition. It's not about you versus your team. When you are on a team, you're working together to accomplish goals. Even if you don't always get along with people, or maybe you have somebody else on the team that you kind of that rubs you the wrong way.
Christina, that's fantastic input. I remember a story. One of the men that's a mentor and somebody I respect highly, military man, and he was in charge of a military group and several hundred men. And he taught me this valuable lesson. He goes, when we would go in to have chow, either lunch or dinner or breakfast, He said, I was the commanding officer. I was the highest ranked guy in there. He goes, I would put my ego aside and I would sit back and I would let every man eat first before I would go get my meal.
Wow.
He said, over the years, he had learned that from commanders that he respected and trusted.
Yeah.
And he realized that that was a great way of creating team unity with the men, and a way to allow the men to know that he cares more about them than about himself.
Wow.
Or his ego. And as a side benefit, he gained much respect from the men.
Yeah.
And he told me that there was times when the guys would come to him and said they would do anything for that man. So
wow.
He put his ego aside, put his rank aside, put his position aside, and he put the others first.
I love that. That's so good. I can just imagine as somebody under him in the company, just how humbling it must be to have your leader sitting back watching everyone else eat first. Yeah. And I'm sure he did that every day. It wasn't just a one-time occasion.
Oh, yeah. It was all the time.
Wow. That's huge. Yeah. So when we're talking about developing a team that has a group first mentality, we really want to encourage you, just there are no egos involved. It's not about the I, it's about the team. Finally, our last point here is that each member knows their role. So it's important for each member to know their role, because if, as a group, one person doesn't do their job correctly or doesn't participate, it can cause some serious issues.
And let's look at sports, for example. In every teammate has a position to play. If someone isn't in their spot, the offense or the defense will be compromised, allowing the opposing team to either score or to defend better than you can try to score.
Yeah.
They all know, members move together in unison because of hours of practice and working together, and they all know their role and cover their spot with dedication. The same goes for solid teams with a group first mentality. They are dedicated to the team and want to win or succeed. So they practice working together, and when it's crunch time, they are ready to perform as one unit. Let me also give you some additional insight on why it's important that we work together as a team, but also that you practice as a team. Teams are made up of people, and depending on the project or tasks, you will have some members on the team that excel on that project.
Yeah.
And then you will have some members of the team that are a little weaker on that project. Well, here's the reality. Your team can only go as quickly as your weakest person.
Yeah.
It's not like, hey, let's leave them behind. No, we don't leave any person behind. We're working together as a team. So by practicing and working together, you begin to gauge and look at the effectiveness of your team. And so you know what pace they can take, what the challenges will be. You know that maybe some projects are a little bit too big for your team.
Yeah.
So you have to count the cost and the risk. So as you practice. Members' roles are more defined, more clear. Everybody kind of knows what the other person is capable of and what their abilities are, what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are. And that's where we get back to that first one where we then jump in and we begin to consider the other person of greater value than us.
Yeah.
So if I'm strong in an area, I'll jump in and help somebody that's a little weaker in that area.
Yeah.
If I'm weak in an area, somebody might already know this and they jump in and assist me in that week, in my weakness.
Yeah.
So building strength as in a team requires us to practice as a team so that we can get better, but we can also learn each other's weaknesses and strengths.
And then as you learn each other's weaknesses and strengths, you can work together to overcome those. For example, if there's someone on my team who's stronger than I am in a certain area, if I go up to them and say, hey, I'm weak in this area, can you help me? Together, you can, you know, strengthen each other. And then there's just going to be some, you know, some people are just more naturally gifted in other areas. And there's areas that I myself, I'm just like, I don't want to learn any more of this. You take it for me. You know, I know you're good at this and enjoy it. So that's what being part of a team is all about, leaning on each other, working together. But at the heart of it, you have to have this mentality of it's not about me, it's about the team. What can I do to add value to the team? How can I serve the other members of the team? And how can we work together to accomplish goals?
That's it.
Well, guys, that was a short one, but that's what we have for you today on the podcast. I encourage you to listen again next week. We're going to be talking about another trait of high-performing teams, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'll let you be surprised. So I'm creating intrigue for them to come back. In other news, our podcast, we encourage you, if you haven't already done so, to subscribe, to like, to share it, help us get the word out. We always appreciate that. And then we also have our textbook, Volunteer You 101, Introduction to Volunteering. If you haven't checked that out, please do so. It's a good topic for any leader of any team, not just volunteers, but we do touch on specific items to volunteers in that book as well. But you can find all that information, the podcast, our books, the articles that have been discussing high performance teams, and all kinds of free resources on our website at www.volunteeru.org.
Okay, we'll see you later.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Leadership You podcast. For more resources for leaders, visit our website at volunteeru.org.